God is so good.
Yes.
God is so good.
Yes.
God is so, so, so good.
Yes, he is.
Amen. The testimonies this morning, God is so good.
Yes.
The stories of breakthrough, God is so good.
Amen.
In the midst of the trials, God is so good. Would you turn with me to Genesis 39? I was going to write down the words of encouragement and the prophetic impetus and the scriptures that have come this morning, but they're already written down on my notes. Praise God. Because God's got a word for us this morning. We're going to look at this text and then we're going to enjoy God together. Genesis 39, we're going to read from verse 19. A bit of a story here through to chapter 40, 23, and I'm reading from the Holman translation. It goes like this, talking about the story of Joseph. He's in Potiphar's house. When his master heard the story, his wife told him, "These are the things your slave did to me." He was furious and had him thrown into prison, where the king's prisoners were confined. So Joseph was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. He granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. The warden put all the prisoners who were in the prison under Joseph's authority, and he was responsible for everything that was done there. The warden did not bother with anything under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and the Lord made everything that he did successful. After this, the Egyptian king's cupbearer and baker offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned Joseph to them, and he became their personal attendant, and they were in custody for some time. The Egyptian king's cupbearer and baker, who were confined in the prison, each had a dream. Both had a dream on the same night, and each dream had its own meaning. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they looked distraught. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We had dreams," they said to him, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Don't interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph. "In my dream, there was a vine in front of me. On the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms came out and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, I squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." "This is its interpretation," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. In just 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. You will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand the way you used to when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well for you, remember that I was with you. Please show kindness to me by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. For I was kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing that they should put me in this dungeon." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was positive, he said to Joseph, I also had a dream. 3 baskets of white bread were on my head. In the top basket were all sorts of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." "This is its interpretation," Joseph replied. "The 3 baskets are 3 days. In just 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from off you and hang you on a tree. Then the birds will eat the flesh from your body." I don't know about you, I always feel sorry for the baker in this story. But on the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he gave a feast for all his servants. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. Pharaoh restored the chief cupbearer to his position as cupbearer, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But Pharaoh hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had explained to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. What a story. What a mixed bag of fortunes. Father, we thank you for your word.
Yes.
And Lord, we ask this morning that it would penetrate our hearts afresh. For Lord, that is what it has the power to do. And Lord, we pray word would sink deep and flourish. Open our hearts to hear your voice afresh this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. My title for you this morning is, Are You Thinking Too Small? If you've got a space at the top of your page, pop that on there. We're going to revisit that a few times as we go along. I didn't want that area to be blank in your notebooks. But God spoke to me and said, Are you thinking too small? And I find my messages are often confirmed in a rather bizarre manner by Inez. It's happened twice now, so I'm saying often. I'm working on a principle, and if I'm asking Jonathan and Inez if they could just keep me informed of things in their life, it would greatly help my sermon preparations. But a few weeks ago when I was praying for today, I was meditating on the fact that greater praise leads to greater presence. The greater praise, and haven't we seen that this morning? Greater praise leads to greater presence. And if you want a subheading, you can have that. Well, that Sunday, Inez gave testimony to God's miracle-working power in the life of her and her husband. And rather than me repeat it, I'm wondering if Inez might join me for a second. And is Jonathan here? She's flying solo today. Now, Inez, can you stand up there where you were? You were kind of just up here. You were leading worship and doing your thing. But tell us what you were telling us a couple of weeks ago.
A couple of weeks ago, the testimony.
That's right.
Oh, I speak so much. I shared that me and my husband tried for a baby for a year and a half, and we obviously couldn't have a baby, but God kept on bringing words through different people and confirming that he would give us a child, and I was going to get pregnant. So we stood on God's word, and I remember I shared with you that, you know, God is faithful. Even though I didn't have my victory at the time, I knew that God was going to, you know, bring my miracle. So he did. He brought the miracle at the right time. And he is faithful.
Come on. Yeah. Thank you, Inez. I did warn her. Praise God. You see, that was the testimony. We were trying to conceive, and nothing was working for us, but God had given us a promise. And a couple of weeks ago, Inez stood up there. In fact, she had a little picture. And she said, God's done it. You know, and here's my proof. Here's my scan. And we all praised God together in that time. We had a great time, you know. Yeah, having a baby. Woo. It was good, and it's right to rejoice, and it's right to be glad with one another, to rejoice with those who rejoice. It's good to celebrate. But in my spirit, and Inez referred to it, the bit that really struck out to me was the testimony from a few months earlier, when Inez again was leading worship, and at the start, not word for word, but something like this, it's been a tough week. We are believing God for a child, and we haven't seen it. We thought it might have happened by now. It hasn't happened. And for whatever this week, it's been on my mind. But she came and said, but nevertheless, we are trusting in God. We have a word, and we're going to praise, and we're going to worship. And we had a great time together. In fact, it was a really faith-filled time because we broke through into something together. And then fast forward to a couple of weeks ago, and Inez is up and she has the scan and says, we're pregnant. Here's the proof. Here is, if you like, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm holding it in my hand. You see, I feel a bit sick, but maybe I'm just not well. I'm quite tired. Well, maybe I just had a late night. I've taken a test, but that could be wrong. But I have some proof. I have a picture. I know God is doing what he said he would do. And here is a picture. You see, that picture sounds a lot like faith. It isn't faith, but it sounds a lot like faith. It isn't faith, but it does sound a lot like faith. What is faith? Faith, Hebrews 11, verse 1. In the King James, probably the only King James translation I'll give you today, but my go-to for this verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, here's the amazing thing. Even a scan isn't a guarantee of what's to come. It's telling us what's happening now. It's an indicator for us. But here is something even more sure than a picture. It's faith. Faith is certain. It's faith. It's faith. It's faith. Faith says, I may not be pregnant, but I know my God, and I know his word, and I know he's told me this baby is coming, so I'm going to rejoice like I'm holding that baby. I'm going to rejoice not because of the holding, because of who God is. Because he is faithful. Because he is good. That's why we can praise God before the breakthrough. That's why we had such a great time of praise and worship this morning, because he's a good God, no matter where we're at. And that resonated in my heart, that greater praise a few months ago led to a great presence, which led to a great miracle. Praise God. That's how God works. Greater presence led to a great miracle. Why? Because of great praise. Now, I went home from that Sunday a couple of weeks ago, and within 24 hours, read a verse in Psalms in the Message. And it was another confirmation for me, and one of those Psalms, you kind of think, is that really in the Bible? But Psalm 22:31 jumped out at me. It says, babies not yet conceived will hear the good news, that God does what he says. Oh,
come on.
Hello. Babies not yet conceived will hear the good news, that God does what he says.
Yeah.
I read that and, you know, my hair stood on end. I thought, God, I've just come from a meeting. I know David wasn't talking about, he's talking about future generations, but I've just come from a meeting of God's people where a lady and a husband are giving testimony to the fact that they had praised God and given thanks for his goodness and faithfulness and power and provision, even when they saw no evidence, even when they had not conceived, even when nothing seemed to be happening. The first time round, they declared, God does what he says, and now here's my praise. The second time, God does what he says, here's my praise, and I've even got this indicator too. My faith hasn't changed though. God is doing what he said he would do. When we praise today, give glory today, dance today, declare, rejoice, sing, whoop, holler, whatever we're going to do, that which cannot see still hears and is even kick-started in that moment.
Amen.
I don't know how, but somehow their baby even heard before being conceived that God does what he says he's going to do, and God acted and brought life to a situation and changed it completely. Do you know there's situations in your life you can't see anything for them, but there is a miracle waiting for you today when you praise God. For many, miracles have been unlocked and birthed today as you praise God, even though you couldn't even see what it is, even though you can't, even though it's not even been conceived in the natural. God has made a way.
Amen.
The miracle is waiting in your praise. It might take a few weeks to conceive and another 9 months for the baby to get itself ready, but the miracle happens in the praise and in the presence. And that was what was stirring in my heart. That there is for us a greater praise to come, to release a greater sense of God's presence amongst us as his people, because we know that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. He doesn't visit the praises of his people. He doesn't stop by the praises of his people. He doesn't pop in and pop out and take a holiday in the praises of his people. He comes, he lives, he dwells in the praises of his people. He literally turns up, makes himself at home, sits down, and says, I am here to do you good. That's why Joseph could say, the Lord is with me. He inhabited the praises of his people. Amen. God is inhabiting the praises of his people even this morning. Amen. God is inhabiting the praises of his people even this morning. We are called to be a community where the presence of God dwells. Amen. 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 You know, the blessing of God is bigger than your blessing. Yeah, it's bigger than your health. It's bigger than your finances. It's bigger than every answered prayer. There's something in it for us together that God wants to do. That it might extend far further than just you. All those things are good and legitimate, and God wants to do every single one of them. But are we thinking too small? God's got something far bigger for us. He's called us to be blessed to be a blessing. He has called us to be blessed to be a blessing, to reach out to everyone around us. There's wholeness for you, but there's wholeness to flow through you today. Greater praise, greater presence, they're all in a greater measure. And that's something we know. We've tasted of that this morning. We have tasted of it in our history, in the ones and the twos, and God doing things amongst us. But I'm telling you, church, there's a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit to come and sweep through us here. Amen. Where God is saying, I'm dwelling amongst my people for a far greater measure than we've ever known. So I was praying and asking God, okay, Lord, how do we go from where we are to the next thing you have for us, you know? And I think like that, this is where we are, this is where I am, how do we go, what's the next step, you know, and then the next step. How do we walk this with you, Lord? And God told me, Jonathan, you're thinking too small. I've been polite in asking the question of you, but he just told me, Jonathan, you're thinking too small. And that was the only thing I had. And I was a bit offended because I like to think, you know, I'm the man of faith. If you're sick, I'm going to come and pray with you. We're going to stand together. And if there's need, I'm going to come alongside you. And I'm believing for things. And I'm thinking, Lord. And to do that, you got to know God's big. I know God's big. I know he's a big God and he does big things. And yet God said, John, you're thinking too small. I thought, Lord, I need to check that then. God wants us to think bigger about him than we've ever thought before. Bigger about him than we've ever thought before. And that's the really important bit. To get from where we are to where we're going, I'm thinking too small. And thinking too small isn't just about having limits on what God can do, you see. We do need to remove those. But also it's thinking too small about who he is. It was really just emphasizing that. When it's just an ordinary day, when maybe not much is happening, am I still aware of the greatness of the God who's with me? Am I still aware in the mundane, in the everyday, in that I'm not too sure what's going on, Lord? Am I still aware of the greatness of God with me? And so we come back to our friend Joseph. When we pick up the story, Joseph is in prison. He's been falsely accused of attempting rape, and he's a far cry from where he thought he'd be in his life. In his youth, he'd had one time a famous dream, which they made a musical about. But more importantly, it stuck with him. Well, he had a dream that his brothers would be bowing down to him. That was the interpretation of the dream. But that was a long time ago. So here's Joseph in prison. It's dark and dirty and smelly. There's no cable TV. There's no Wi-Fi. This is just a dungeon. It's like a bad conservatory. Too hot in the winter, too cold in the summer, a little bit drafty and very moist. It's a horrible place to be. And yet God was with him. God was with him even in that place. Just like he'd been with him in Potiphar's house. And in the prison, because God was with him, he did really well and he became in charge of everything. And in the midst of uncertainty, the Lord was with him. In the midst of those false accusations, the Lord was with him. When he woke up every day as a slave, the Lord was with him. When he woke up every day as a prisoner, the Lord was with him. And for those who have given their lives to Jesus here this morning, the good news for you and for me is the Lord is with you. Amen. We've heard that this morning already. The Lord is with you. Turn to the person next to you and say, the Lord is with you. Come on. I want to suggest to you that Joseph did everything there in that prison unto the Lord. This was in his, the only way he knew, this was his worship unto God. He gave everything he had and serving where he was unto the Lord. He had no guitar, he had no piano, he had no nice synth tones behind him. He had nothing. I don't even know if he had a good voice. I don't know if he sang, but I know that wherever he was, he gave his best unto the Lord, and that meant great success wherever he was. You see, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. But you've got to see God for who he is. Bigger than any situation. Bigger than anything else you know. You know, it must be difficult to honor a prison guard unless you know that God is a big God. It must be difficult to live in that situation unless you know that God is a really big God. Do you know you're going to struggle with people around you unless you know God is a big God? You're going to struggle with that boss. You're going to struggle with that family friend. You're going to struggle with whoever, with your colleagues, but God is a big God. Yes. And we read about this in Genesis 39:21. It says, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness. I know you know that word is hesed. And granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. You'd be forgiven for thinking sometimes when you read these stories that maybe Joseph sort of lived a semi kind of charmed life, you know, that in some way maybe he was a special case. Maybe he lived an extraordinary life that we can't really relate to. And in one sense, that's true. His story is unusual for the Old Testament. But for every New Testament believer, that's you, that's me, this is the same calling that we have with God. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. The Lord is with you. That was Joseph's testimony. He set there as an example for us, and it's our testimony too. He's towards Joseph like he's towards me. And you know, when you read something in the Bible and then you think, oh, I think I've heard that somewhere before. Where have I heard some of those words? I'm reminded of Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our lot as well. Amen. Are you thinking too small about who God is? Or are you believing and expecting that in whatever situation you find yourself, his goodness and mercy will be pursuing you, chasing you, and running you down? Because that's the heart of God towards us. And that's the heart of God towards you. God is pursuing you. His goodness and mercy are pursuing you. It's not wishful thinking. It's his covenant towards you. It's part of the deal. I know some don't believe it. I'm just telling you now. The goodness of God is pursuing you. I just feel to say it again. The goodness of God is pursuing you. The goodness of God is pursuing you. You say, I don't see it. That's okay. It's pursuing you. Your response is to worship and praise. Amen. Now, into this scenario with Joseph, the cupbearer and the baker arrive. They had dreams, and Joseph interprets them with some very different outcomes for the two men. But what I just want to touch on is, this was an ordinary day like any other day. There was nothing special about this day. Joseph was going about what he always does, serving unto the Lord. But on that day, Joseph had an opportunity to sow a seed for a miracle that would bring about his escape. He didn't know it at the time, because he was living it like a normal day, just unto the Lord. But sometimes in the normality of our day, just doing what we're gifted to do, doing what we're called to do, God breaks in, and you look back and think, I can see a seed for a miracle was sown in that moment because I just did what I do every day. In the heart of the prison, and no one else really saw it. I don't believe Joseph got everyone round, you know, ready for a little demonstration of the power of God now, and they're going to sell some dreams, and I'm going to tell you. No, he just did what he did. There was no Instagram post. There was no Facebook Live, okay? There was no My Story. There was no selfie with the cupbearer. Yeah? Big news coming. 3 days. There was none of that, you know? Hashtag no filter. Hashtag RIP Baker. None of that. There was no self-promotion. There was no grandeur. It was an ordinary, everyday kind of day. Just Joseph, two men and the Lord. And Joseph interprets the dreams and even appeals to the cupbearer to not forget him, which he did. But in Joseph's mind, maybe, just maybe, if he remembers me, he can put a word in with someone and they'll be influential. They'll be able to get me out. But Joseph sowed a seed. And then he left it. He had no other option. That was his life. He just sowed it and carried on with life. And carried on with life for a long time. You know, he carried on and he continued to worship. That's all he had. He gave God his worship. He gave him his best. The prison continued to flourish. It continued to be the best run prison in the whole of the land. Why? Because he sowed his seed and he kept on. He kept on. Because God is with you. You give him your best. And in that very moment, sow a seed for your escape from a barren land, which maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon will come forth and bear fruit and lead you into a palace of blessing and fruitfulness, the likes of which you could not even imagine. Thank you, Lord. You see, when your heart's hurting because you can't have a child, that's the time to praise God. You know, when you've been in prison, and you're in prison today, and it looks like you're going to be in prison tomorrow, that's the time to praise God. When that prayer that's not answered, and it's another day, that's the time to praise God. That's the time to praise God. That unfulfilled prayer is coming to pass in your praise as his presence flows. But all we're called to do, church, is keep praising, keep rejoicing, keep giving thanks, keep singing of the goodness of God. Are you thinking too small? Wherever you're at, there's a God bigger than you can imagine, working things out, and all he asks you to do is give him praise. Trust him, give him your best today. Whatever comes along, give it your best. Amen. Amen. Well, eventually Joseph does get out of prison. And when he gets out, I'm convinced he thinks this is the end of his story. He finds himself in the palace of the king. This is a fantastic privilege. He has interpreted more dreams. He has told the king that there is going to be some years of plenty and of bounty, followed by some years of drought. And Joseph, because he's the man with the plan, has been given the job to save the nation. So he is highly honored, and he is now highly esteemed. There is nothing he lacked. He had every resource he wanted. He had a good home. He has a wife. He has two children now. He is well blessed. He rides the nicest chariot. He can have whatever he wants. If he wants it, he can just have it. That's the huge transformation in his life. And significantly, he's no longer a slave. He's no longer a prisoner. He's a free man. His life has completely turned around. He is prosperous more than he could imagine. I believe he's so satisfied, he calls his children Ephraim and Manasseh. Because when you look at their meanings, it says in Genesis 41, verses 51 to 52, I'll just read this to you. Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, meaning God has made me forget all my hardships in my father's house. And the second son he named Ephraim, meaning God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Joseph had children and gave God thanks. But it sounds to me like he thinks this is the end of his story. He says, I've made it. Life is good. Life was tough, but now it's good. God brought me through some things. This was a difficult place to live. It was a land of affliction. But now I'm blessed. Now I'm fruitful. Isn't that wonderful? I believe that passage that we read earlier was in his mind as well, even though it hadn't been written yet. But I believe Joseph knew that the Lord had prepared a table for him in the presence of his enemies. I believe he knew that God was so with him. He was blessed. He was blessed. He was blessed. And maybe that's your story too. You are blessed. God has blessed you. I mean, he's really blessed you. He's given you a wife or a husband. He's given you children. You have a nice home. You don't want for a car. You have a good job. You have box seats to every Wales game. Whatever. God has really blessed you. You know, but you can look back and you think, yeah, I have a nice holiday and we have a big Christmas and all these things that are nice to do. And you can sit back and think, yeah, I'm really blessed. God, you know, people, the family's doing well. I'm really blessed. Maybe life is good. God's shown his faithfulness. Tough times, for sure, are part of your journey. They're a part of your story, and you've seen God bring you through. But really, you look and you think, I'm blessed. But you know, I want to let you know, that's not all God's written for you. That is not the end of your story. There is another chapter to come. And in short, if you're not dead, it ain't over. God has more for you. This isn't a time to just think on the blessings of God, full stop. This is a time to think on the blessings of God, praise, rejoice, and say, what next, Lord? God has more. Whether you're in the prison or you're in the palace, there's another chapter still to be written. Whether you're in the prison or you're in the palace, there's another chapter still to be written. You see, there was a whole chapter of Joseph's life still to come. There was a chapter where he would be restored to the family that he'd forgotten, for the family that he had decided was cut off from him. God did him an incredible work. There's a whole chapter where that family then move. He's key in the whole advance of a nation that comes to settle with him. God had big things to do with Joseph still, even after the 7 years and the 7 years. Praise God. Praise God. Whether you're barely making it in the prison or flying high in the palace, for everyone, there is another chapter to come. I'm telling you that today in the name of Jesus. There's another chapter. Joseph thought he'd made it, but God was just getting started. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, may dreams be birthed even in this moment. Lord, may that thing that's been an inkling in your heart come to full fruition as a full-blown dream for you, Lord, to outwork and to fulfill even in this moment, Lord. Dreams are being birthed right now because it's time to think bigger. It's time to think bigger of who God is and what he can do. Thank you, Lord. God's still writing your story. It's bigger than you can imagine. You see, if God's too small, we need to think bigger. But I don't mean too small just about his promises or what he has said, because there is more to it than just that. That's important, but there is more to it than just that. In prison, Joseph was not sustained in his present situation by a promise for his future. By that, what I'm saying is Joseph didn't live with his sort of head up thinking, well, one day I'll be out of here. One day I have had these great dreams. One day great things are going to come upon me with this sense of sort of super destiny. We know that because he forgot those things. There's a passage when he comes out of, and he's in the palace meeting his family, and it's only halfway through meeting his family that he says, I remembered all that God had promised me in my youth. There's a sense of he only had today. He wasn't being carried by a great vision of his future because he'd forgotten it. If he hadn't forgotten it, he couldn't have remembered it later. I want to tell you, he forgot it in the prison. He forgot it in the palace. He forgot it in the prison, and he forgot it in Potiphar's house. But he still knew God was with him. He just didn't know how it was going to work out. He just knew God was with him. He just knew God was with him. He just knew there was more. I don't quite know what it is, but there's more. And God sustained him every day for that day. God gave him everything he needed for that day. He was sustained in his presence by his life unto God and the presence of God that was with him for that day. So he lived unto God. The presence of God was with him. He lived unto God. The presence of God was with him. He lived unto God. And the presence of God was with him. And God gave him everything he needed for that day. For that day. And suddenly one day he looked back and he recognized his destiny. But by then it wasn't his destiny, it was just today. God gave him everything he needed for that day. Now, I'm not diminishing words of God and what we hold on to. But the most important thing is, wherever we're at, we give ourselves to the great God who's with us and serve him. How big is your God today? In the midst of unfulfilled word, how big are you letting your God be today? Are you giving your God the best or waiting for a day when everything comes together first? How big a praise, how thankful a heart, energetic a dance, big a song, are you prepared to offer God when there seems little evidence of any change in your life and in your circumstances? I think I've heard this morning some big praise. I believe there's an even bigger praise to come. Amen.
Amen.
What seed are you prepared to sow today for an answered prayer in the future?
Right.
What seed are you prepared to sow? And Inez was prepared to come and lead us in praise and worship. Why? Because she'd been doing it all week. And so a seed of praise and of thanks unto God, even then there was no evidence, but just say, God is good.
Yeah.
God is good.
Amen.
But you know, God is good and the devil is a liar. And he wants to quieten down as many of God's people as he can. I mean, he doesn't want you to sing. He doesn't want you to dance. He doesn't want you to declare and rejoice. He certainly doesn't want you to believe the things that I'm telling you today. He wants you to believe something else. And you know, his tactic really is just to remind you of your past. That's all he's really got. He'll remind you of your sicknesses. He'll remind you of your failures. He'll try and disqualify you by your mistakes. He'll tell you you're a victim. He'll remind you of that sin. He'll tell you you're not loved. He'll bombard you with doubt, with fear, with anxiety, with anything he can to keep you quiet. The list goes on and on. He'll speak to you about your life, his version of it, but it's not God's version. It's not God's version. Because the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Even for me, he'll come and say, Jonathan, can you really preach on a Sunday morning to God's people? Can you really expect people to be healed and saved when you come together? Can you really encourage people in faith? Can you really do that when your wife can't even walk? When she's in bed because she's in so much pain? Can you really stand and say, but God is going to do a great miracle? But God is a healing God? I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what circumstance you find yourself in, there is nothing that disqualifies you from praising God. And there is nothing that disqualifies you from believing that God can do everything that he has said and will. There is nothing in disqualifying you in whatever journey and passage of time you're in for declaring the goodness of God. And I want to tell you, my wife will walk. I have no hesitation about that, for God is good. And his love towards me is good. I told you 10 times, I'm telling myself, he is pursuing me with his loving kindness. His goodness and his mercy are overrunning me. So I might not see it this morning. That's okay. I will see it soon. Why? Because God is good. But you know what? The greatest testimony, the greatest moment, the God moment where it happens, where the breakthrough occurs, is not when we hold up the scan. It's when we get up and we rejoice and we praise, even when we have no indication, no prospect, but faith. God is so good. So I sing every week. I rejoice every week. And if an enemy comes to shut me up, I tell him I'm coming after him to tell everyone there's a louder voice to keep you silent. Because God is good. Whatever circumstance you're in, God is good. Whatever breakthrough you're believing for, they're coming. Deb's brought a word today. She said, I've had a breakthrough. I want to declare it over us this morning. Breakthroughs are coming in Jesus' name. This is a season of breakthroughs, church. Because our praise is ringing heaven's bells and God is pouring out his spirit to say, I've heard your cries, I have heard your praise, I have heard your thanksgiving, breakthroughs are coming in Jesus' name. Amen. There were some ladies that prayed. Who prayed when we were praying earlier? Alison, Ada, there was someone else as well, Deborah. Ladies, would you mind just standing for me? I don't mean to embarrass you. Thank you, Father. There is a breakthrough coming.
Amen.
The Lord has heard the cry of your heart.
Amen.
There is restoration.
Amen.
There is breakthrough.
Amen.
And there is fulfillment of your heart's desire in this season, says God.
Amen.
Testimony will flow of the goodness of God in your lives. Because of your prayers today. Because of your breakthrough prayers today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies. We will hear testimonies. And we will hear testimonies. You see, that which an enemy tries to shut you up with, God says, I'll use for my glory. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. In fact, all those things work together for the good of those who love him. All you have to do is praise me. I'm reminded of a passage, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Rejoice always. This is our response, church. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Why? Verse 24 tells us, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it.
Amen.
Do what? He's going to fulfill every promise. Amen? So hold on to every word, trust every word, run after every word. But God's word to you is not the whole story. It's just the bit he's told you. I'm not diminishing God's word in any way, but we can't think so small of God that he's bound by our interpretation of a word he's given. He's bigger than that. And Joseph tells us all interpretations belong to God. He's told you a bit, but it's bigger. It's bigger. He told Joseph a bit, but it was bigger. It's bigger. You think you're having a baby, let me tell you, that's just the beginning. It's bigger, you know. He's bigger than the word he's spoken. Just to close, Ephesians 3, verse 20 to 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He is the immeasurably more God. That's who he is. The immeasurably more God. And Joseph shows us this. He thought he was saving a nation, yet God was restoring his family. Joseph's part in it just to give him thanks and praise. And that's our part too. Amen. You know, there's words over this church that in this very place, people will come from all around because the presence of God is here. Is that right? Yes. Amen. As an aside, if we're called to get ready for that, it's really nothing that we spend 6 weeks out of here to get the room ready. I'm kind of excited by that because it's just another day and we want to give God our best. So we're going to give him our best right here. Mark and the team are going to give God their best right here and prepare this room for what God's going to do. I'm pretty excited by that. A season of preparation. Amen. But the question I'm also asking myself is, what am I doing to prepare myself? What am I doing? What are you doing to prepare yourself? In the words of Kerry recently, are you ready? What are you doing? We're getting ready. We're getting ready physically. Are we getting ready too when we come together in our homes or in the gatherings? I believe our praise together upstairs and our preparation together down here might just be the Kickstarter for our greatest adventure yet. That's my little heads up to come ready next week to praise your socks off, to bring a thankful heart of gratitude and praise to God. Stir yourself in the week. Start this afternoon, okay? Be praising and worshiping, and by the time we gather together, let's just raise a greater than we've ever known praise to God. Let's really get ourselves ready for what God wants to do and think bigger.
Amen.
Praise God. Because we worship the able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine God. That's who it is. And that's why it's faith, church, because we come to God and he's with us, but everything about him is immeasurably more than I can even ask or imagine. So I'm always like a little step behind, but just believing in faith, this is going to be wonderful and fantastic because that's who God is. So again, when we see nothing, we can still say, I'm going to worship and I'm going to praise. Can I just ask the band to come? I just want us to close. I'd ask them for the song we've already sung, so we're going to sing it again. And we'll have the bridge at some point as well. Church, would you stand with me if you can? We're coming to the immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, God. Are you thinking too small? Whatever's going on, stir yourself and worship the big God who is with you. God's presence is here and poised to only increase as we pour out our praise to Him. Greater praise, church, is leading to greater presence amongst us. Greater praise in your life, greater presence in your life. A greater praise coming in your home, a greater presence of God in your home. Greater praise in your family, greater praise in your family, greater presence in your family. Greater praise in the church. Greater praise in the church. Greater presence in the church. That is what God has for us. Let's just close and worship Him with this. Amen.